This morning's scripture reading will be taken from Acts, the second chapter, verses 42 through 47. Acts 2, 42 through 47. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to his church daily such as should be saved.
Little unknown fact about Barney, he was second mate on the Ark. But one other note, Kay Maddox told me this morning that Ray's dad, hospice has only given him about 24 to 48 hours. So please keep that family in your prayers during this time. I know it's very difficult, and because of COVID, they cannot see him. We often think of folks who don't attend worship as being unbelievers, and it's possible that to some degree that is true, but research shows that there's a large number, around 56%, who consider themselves believers even though they do not attend any organized service with any regularity. They don't attend, the survey tells us, because they live their Christian faith in a way that to them is just as good or better than being connected with a local church family. There is a phrase that is out there, and while I understand the phrase, I believe it means many things to many people. I have a personal relationship with Jesus. You know, we live in this high-tech world that today it seems more than ever that social media defines our personal relationships. We live in a world today that is causing many to feel overwhelmed. To many, feeling lonely. And in a way, this personal relationship with Jesus is stated as a way to explain why collective worship isn't on their to-do list. But I want to share this morning some things that you already know. Our congregation has oftentimes the same folks in our worship and in our Bible study. You all sitting out there, I come this morning expecting to see you, and I do. You're here. We have come to see each other as family. And because of that, this morning, I'd like us to take a look at the power and the joy that comes from living a life together as disciples of Christ. A life that cannot be lived by just having a personal relationship with Jesus all and by myself. I'd like to start in Matthew chapter 10, the very first four verses of Matthew 10. And the Bible says, and he called to him his 12 disciples. He gave them authority over unclean spirit to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. And the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. You know, the other week we talked about how Jesus had spent the whole night in prayer with God for this moment in deciding these 12 men from all of his disciples. And he called them first apostles, these 12 men. What we find here is the first real assembly of believers. And as believers, I'd like us to notice what he does to them. He empowers them. Spiritually, they have the power to cast out demons. They have the power to heal all manner of sickness. They can even raise the dead. I just can't imagine having that kind of power today. I'm sure if we did, every pew would be full, packed shoulder to shoulder. But what we have instead is a life that is anything but a bed of roses. Let us understand what Jesus did not tell them. He did not tell them that people would show them kindness through these miracles that they would be able to perform. He did not tell them that they would be loved by the world. He did tell them that the world would persecute them. A little bit further down in Matthew 10, verses 24 and 25, Jesus said here, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is even for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant to be like his master. And if they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? Did they not call Jesus that, the scribes and the Pharisees? Sure they did. Sure they did. Here's my point. Life itself has its spiritual highs and lows. There are going to be days when we are on fire. There are going to be days when we want to be so involved and work very hard for the Lord. There are going to be days when it seems as if everyone is against us. But that, my friends, is discipleship. That is life. And we cannot do the things we do by emotional swings. We need to be a community, if you will, of people who live by the words that we find in Romans 12, verse 1. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You know, many years ago, when the fire service was still using Manila hemp rope for our rescues and things, we would weave the different parts of the rope into itself instead of tying a knot. Knots can slip. Knots can fail. Anytime you tie a knot, it weakens the fibers itself in a small way. But when you weave the strands together and you weave them in and out, when life or weight pulls on that, the outside strands squeeze the inside strands and holds it together. It will not slip. Friends, that's the church. Bind me together with cords that cannot be broken. You don't bind something with a knot. You bind it by braiding. And that strength holds us together. And that is the power of being together, is the strength that it gives us to live as a disciple of Christ when we together are holding one another tight. It's easy when we're by ourselves to let our emotions get the best of us. But when we are together, it is like a 5-hour energy drink. We are lifted up. I dare say that there is very few people who came in this morning that left the same way or the same frame of mind when they came in. Or at least I hope you left better than you got here. Jesus knew that the first church was not Jerusalem, but the first church was in these 12 men. These men who lived life together. They centered on Christ as their teacher and their master. Now we can go back to our text that Barney read in Acts chapter 2. This is a text that more than likely many of us were taught when we were being taught the gospel, or at least grew up, if we grew up in the church, of being taught. We see in these verses how the early church devoted themselves to their spiritual health by listening to the apostles' teaching, by living a life, if you will, by serving one another within the church family, by remembering the Lord's Supper, the death, the burial, the resurrection, by the breaking of bread. They spent their time together in collective prayer. We look at those and we say, well, that's great. But oftentimes we miss the effect of what they did. All of that that happened, it's seen in the last clause of verse 47. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Whose number? The number of disciples. The church in Jerusalem was growing every single day. It wasn't just growing on the first day of the week. It was growing every single day. Grew as a direct result of that church being wholly together. Their devotion to learning more about Christ from the apostles. Their devotion to live that life in service and prayer was the magnet that drew other Jews from the deadness of their religion and their spiritual life to come to a community of Christ where love abound. You know, the fourth Sunday of the month is a hard day. I know it is hard for a lot of you ladies who have prepared the meal, but it's really hard when the air handling system picks up those scents and you're standing up here with a vent. And our fellowship meals are great. and the food is always great, and I look forward to it. But to be honest, the food is not the important thing. It is an opportunity for us to come together longer than just the hour, 2 hours on a Sunday morning. It is a time to sit around a table and talk about our lives, to share stories. It's an opportunity for us to continue to stay together. But all of our activities, all the activities within the church are all very important for us in our togetherness, our unity. We gather together for the purpose of praising God. We come together so we can learn more. We want the world to see Christ living in us. When the outside world sees those things around us, they see evangelism happening. We do not have to go out here and knock on doors necessarily to bring others to Christ. When they see Him living in us, just as they saw the first century church, Him living in them, they were drawn to that joy and happiness. Every single one of us, from the time we can understand words and put sentences together, need to be a praying person. Every disciple knows that God hears our prayers and enters into this life in ways that still amaze us. It shouldn't amaze us. Oftentimes it does, though. You know, we pray for something, we pray for something, we pray for something, we haven't had it happen yet. And all of a sudden, when we least expect it, the prayer is answered. How many of us have prayed for something that we think is going to happen to us and we're filled with dread? And then the day comes and goes, we don't even think about it, but nothing has happened. We go into the next day and the next way, and the problem never resurfaces. Do we think then that God has answered our prayers? Do we thank Him that the problem has gone away? Our personal prayers are very important to our spiritual life, but our collective prayers, what we pray together, even more so. I can't imagine what the church in Jerusalem was going through that we read about in Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, in the first five verses, it says about the time Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and he saw when it pleased the Jews that he proceeded to arrest Peter also, and this was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison. But listen to this. But earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Earnest prayer, fervent prayer, steadfast prayer. Folks were on their knees for Peter. We think we have it rough. We turn on the TV, we read the papers, we listen to the news, and we think we got it bad. This was definitely a need for the collective prayers. Christians needed each other for emotional support. They needed each other for spiritual strength. Their lives were on the line because of what they believed. So they gathered together and they prayed. Vicki and I weren't in this congregation, and neither was Katie, when 9/11 happened. So I can just imagine, though, knowing this congregation for who you are, that Sunday was spent in a lot of prayer. And also that day in our own personal lives. Their prayers, at that point, they did not know that it was answered. But Luke tells us that God had sent an angel to walk Peter out of a locked jail, to walk past all of those soldiers. And he went to the house where these folks were gathered together to pray. And they were too shocked to believe it was Peter. And that may not speak of their faith as much, that God would rescue Peter, but it does speak directly to the fact that they needed each other, that they hoped that God would save Peter, that he would intervene. Here's the point, my friends. Praying together as a church changes us as much as it changes what's around us. It helps us to lean on God, and when we do that, we gain our spiritual strength. This is what I do know. That Jesus, in the beginning, told his disciples that upon this rock I will build my church, his assembly. Jesus knew that for us to live together as a congregation spiritually was necessary for us to be able to walk in spiritual strength each and every day. The Hebrew writer understood exactly what the importance of assembling. He reasoned that we were better together than apart, and that we could encourage each other in love and in good works. We are much better together than we ever are apart. Do you want to be a part of that community? The invitation is being offered in this moment. If you have not obeyed the gospel, we want to give you that opportunity to be a part of a community that loves you, part of the community that wants you to live forever. Through repentance, confession, and baptism, by burying in that watery grave, having your sins washed away, through faith, you can become a part of that community. You will not be added to the Malden Church of Christ. You will be added to Christ's church. Allow God and the angels in heaven to rejoice this day. If you are a child of God, and if you've been missing out on these things, this community, you need to come back to the fold. We want to give you that opportunity also. If any has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.